Amen. So Acts chapter 16 is where we're going to be. We recapped chapters 1 through 15 last week, and we're going to be in Acts 15, the first part of the chapter. Sermon title this morning is Along the Way. Along the Way. There's incredible things that happen with Jesus as you're going along the way. Now, if you've been in faith in Christ for a little bit, you know that on the onset of the journey, you were probably hoping and wishing that Jesus gave you all the answers up front, but it don't work like that. It's along the way that you begin to hear his voice, and he leads and guides you and directs you and reroutes you. And it's along the way that you begin to learn the voice of God, hear the voice of God, be led by the voice of God. And this is really what we see in Paul. He is listening to the voice of God as he goes. He's got a general direction, but God is guiding and navigating his steps. And that's what we're going to see this morning. And it's to be the same for us. That along the way, we allow God to navigate us, to reroute us, to change the direction, to change the plans, because he's got the ultimate plan. And so what we're going to see here this morning is that Paul, he and Barnabas had gone throughout Galatia, had gone throughout Pamphylia and so many of the different areas and regions and established churches. They were very missional with the gospel. They were very intentional with the gospel and where they were going. And so they go throughout the region and they share the gospel and folks get saved and they establish these churches amongst many places. And what happens from as a result of that is Paul returns back to where they came from in Antioch, him and Barnabas, and he goes, hey, man, let's go back and let's strengthen the churches again. The ones that we established, the ones that we poured into, let's go back and just encourage them in the faith again. But there's one problem. Barnabas wants to take John Mark, and Paul wants to take Silas. Now, Paul's like, hey, I remember when we were up there last time, John Mark, he bailed on us. He said, I can't be taking somebody that might quit on us when it gets hard. And Barnabas, his name means son of encouragement. So naturally, he's like, no, like, let's take John Mark because we need to encourage him. We need to build him up. We need to lift him up. Now, which one is right? Is Barnabas right? Is Paul right? Well, they're both right. They're both right. But what they decide to do in the midst of conflict is go their separate ways. Barnabas takes John Mark. Paul partners up with Silas, and they decide to go. So where we're at this morning is the start of the second missionary journey. We saw the first one in the first 15 chapters. Now they're getting ready to go back, and this is the second missionary journey that Paul is on, but he's got a new companion in Silas. Now, the springboard for where we are today and where we're going to be for the next several weeks is going to be rooted in the Great Commission. And I want to read that, and Dennis read that this morning, and it was perfect and spot on, because that is the springboard that Paul is running off of, and that is the same for us. So Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So he has all power and authority. So as a result of that, in verse 19, he says, now you go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It's not a great suggestion. It is a command of the believer. It is assumed that you're all doing this. That is the assumption of the believer. So when you say you're a disciple of Jesus, then I'm assuming that you are doing this because this last command should be our first priority. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. And the connotation here, the idea here, is as you are going. So it's not that, hey, I'm not fulfilling this if I'm not a missionary over in Uganda. If I'm not a missionary in some foreign country or the Philippines or South America or Southeast Asia, then I'm not fulfilling the Great Commission. That's not true. As you are going, wherever you are, in the boardroom, in the classroom, on your job, amongst your friends, relatives, what you do with your leisure and recreational time, as you go, we're to make disciples, which means our antennas are up and our eyes are open. We are ready as we are going, and that's what Paul's mindset was. He said, I'm going to these churches, but as I'm going, I'm ready. Whatever comes, whatever opportunity you provide, I'm going to be ready. So as you are going, it's along the way. It's along the way. And so what we see here in chapter 16 to verse 1, let's break apart these next 15 verses. So Timothy is going to join Paul and Silas. Verse 16, verse 1 of chapter 16 says, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. Hold on a second. Paul, did you get amnesia, man? He went to Lystra? Now, if you remember, in Acts 14, Paul had an experience in Lystra that wasn't that great. What happened to Paul in Lystra? In Acts 14, verse 19, it says, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium to Lystra, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead. And Paul, you want to go back to Lystra? Are you crazy? What are you thinking? But here's the thing. When your will is subjected to his, you don't get to determine where you go. He determines where you go. And even though Paul went to the point of where they thought he was dead and they stoned him, Paul said, listen, if I go there and they do kill me, praise God. Because I'm doing what he called me to do. I'm doing what he has instructed and asked me to do. So he goes back with boldness and with confidence. And he's got a new partner in Silas. So Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. So Timothy comes on the scene. This is the first interaction between Paul and Timothy. This is really cool. So what happened was there's about a five-year gap between the first missionary journey and the second missionary journey of what's happening now. So there's a five-year gap from when he first went and planted these churches. And 5 years later, they're getting ready to go back. And when they get there, they run into this guy named Timothy. Now, Timothy, the Bible says that he was a disciple. A disciple was there named Timothy. So most of the time when you think of Timothy, if you know kind of New Testament, just kind of how Paul worked, we associate Timothy with Paul. Paul discipled Timothy, right? And we often, you know, Timothy's a disciple of Paul. But you got to understand, the Bible says that Timothy was first a disciple of Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus. And then he got up under the leadership of Paul. And so for us, our discipleship to Jesus is, Lord, let me look at you. Let me examine the scriptures. Let me resemble who you are and your character and your nature. Let me submit myself to you first. So Timothy is a disciple of Jesus first and foremost. The Bible also says that Timothy was the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. Oh, snap. We got this little Jewish girl being wild because Jewish girls weren't supposed to marry Greeks. They were supposed to marry other Jewish men. So Timothy's mom was a little wild back in the day. Oh, yeah. She had some wild oats down there. She said, I'm going to go marry this guy. I don't care what y'all say. I'm going to go marry this Greek. And so she does. But the Bible lets us know clearly that he was not a believer. He was not a believer. So Timothy's mom, Eunice, was a believer, but his daddy wasn't. And this is going to provide to be problems here in a minute. Verse 2 says that Timothy was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. That is so important of how he was well spoken of, which means that his reputation had preceded him. Paul had went and planted these churches, and he's coming back, and here this young man named Timothy is. He's doing the work of the ministry. He's well spoken of. He's a disciple of Jesus. He's not worried about the persecution that surrounds. He's sharing the gospel. He's well spoken of by those at Lystra and Iconium. Timothy, you could say, comes from good stock. Now, that's a phrase that the old-timers would use trying to figure out who you are. Well, what kind of stock you come from? Me and Ashley were talking about Nash, my son, and Spencer, and just, you know, who they might marry one day. And I said, they better come from some good stock. I know that. What does that mean? I need to know who your mom and them is, who your dad and them, who you related to, what's your background check, criminal record. I need to know what kind of stock you come from. And Timothy comes from good stock from his mother. This is really cool. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. This is Paul speaking. He's speaking to Tim. He said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. He had a praying grandma. He had a grandmother who loved the Lord, who was dedicated to the work of the ministry. He had a mom named Eunice who was discipled by a grandmother named Lois, and we see this generational thing that's happening, and Timothy is a byproduct of what his parents taught him. This is so important. This points to the importance of our family and our units and sharing the gospel with our own kids and pouring into them. To have praying grandparents mean something, who love the Lord. Because your kids, they see that. And you pour into them. And Timothy is now pursuing Jesus as a disciple. And Paul is saying, listen, you come from good stock, man. Your mom Eunice, we know about her. Your grandmother Lois, we know about her. And that same faith that they had, he said, I am certain, I am persuaded that it is in you as well. So in verse 3, it says, Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. That's some dedication. He's willing to be circumcised because they know that your daddy is a Greek, which means that he did not go by the customs of circumcision within our Jewish tradition. This is a problem. And so Paul had him circumcised. Now, by Jewish law, Timothy was a Jew because he was the son of a Jewish mother, but because he was uncircumcised, he was technically an apostate Jew. Paul had Timothy circumcised, and this is important to note, not for the sake of salvation. He didn't do that. Paul would never do that. But so there would be less to hinder ministry among the Jews. Paul said, listen, man, if you're going to go with me, Timothy, he said, we're going to have to do this because that's going to be a stumbling block. We're not even going to be able to get in the synagogue together because you're not circumcised. And that's the first thing they're going to point up. And that's the main thing they're going to focus on. And what we're here to do, we're not going to be able to do because it is a hindrance. So Paul says, Timothy, are you willing to do this for the sake of the gospel? And he says, yes, it's not for the sake of salvation. Because they had had that debate earlier on. People were thinking that, hey, if you're not circumcised, then you're not truly saved. And Paul made that very clear that that is not the case. He said, you are doing this just so there is no hindrance, just so we can go in here and that not be an issue. And Timothy was willing to submit to Paul's leadership on that. In verse 6, we see the Macedonian call. It says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bethany, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they've strengthened the churches in the region. Paul seeks to go next to the immediate west towards the important cities of Ephesus, but Paul was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go there. They're making their plans to go west, and the Bible says, and stops and interrupts the plans, the Bible says the Holy Spirit would not let them go. Now, how could the Holy Spirit possibly forbid the preaching of the word in Asia? After the attempt to go to Asia and that was shut down, Paul, he sought to go north to Bethany, but again, it is prevented by the Holy Spirit. Why would the Holy Spirit do that? Do you not know that those people need the gospel? Why are you rerouting the plan? Why are you detouring us? Paul, he's very tenacious. He's got this vigor, this intentionality. Paul is set on this. His heart is fixed on this. He's passionate and bold about going and sharing the gospel to people who haven't heard yet. going back and sharing the gospel to those who even have heard and have rejected. He said, I'm going back into the pit. He's wanting to do this. He's passionate about doing this. And the Holy Spirit says, nah, you can't do that. You can't go there. Why? Because there was a work being orchestrated by the Spirit of God. And Paul wasn't the right person in the right place at the right time to begin bringing the gospel to the Roman province of Asia Minor. There was certainly nothing wrong with Paul's desire. There's nothing wrong with his vibrancy and his tenaciousness and his vigor to go and do those things. There's nothing wrong with his desire to preach the word in Asia, but it wasn't God's timing, so it was forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this question. What do you do when the Holy Spirit won't let you do what you want to do? We do. Yeah. When he won't let us do what we want to do. Where we want to go this route, we want to pursue this career, we want to pursue this relationship with this individual, and you got other folks around you going, I don't know, I don't think so, and you're like, but I want to, and you got wise counsel around you saying, I don't know, I don't think so, something's not right in my spirit, and you feel something's not right in your spirit, and you're wanting to go that route, you think it's the right thing, it looks great, it sounds great, but the Holy Spirit is checking you going, no, not right now, not today. What do you do when the Lord won't let you do what you want to do? Because they wanted to go to Asia. They wanted to. What do you do when he won't let you do what you want to do? Here's what you do. You thank him. You thank him. You thank the Lord that he cares enough about you and loves you enough to reroute your steps, to re-guide you, to redirect you, because he sees the end from the beginning. You don't. Thank God. How many of you can say in your life that the Lord had redirected you a route and you were very thankful that he did? Let me see. Yeah. Amen. So y'all know what I'm talking about. The Lord, he guides us and he navigates us, and it's frustrating in the moment, but you got to learn to thank God, because there were things that happened for you that would not have happened had you went the direction you wanted to go. And the Lord navigates that, and he routes that according to his purpose and plan, and ultimately you thank him. You thank him for protecting you from you. God, thank you for protecting me from myself, my own thoughts and my own ambitions that were leading me down the wrong path, but I just couldn't see it. I thank you that I did not end up marrying that person in that relationship. I wanted to, but I couldn't see. Other people were telling me, but I thank you that you led me around that thing. That job, that situation, whatever it is. Thank you. Verse 8 says, so passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. So they're going to Troas. Now, Paul didn't set out to go to Troas. It was at least the third choice for him. But it was the Holy Spirit's plan to lead him there. Paul is being guided by hindrance. See, the Holy Spirit often guides us as much by closing doors as he does by opening doors. And you got to know that. You got to know that, because we see the closed door and we go, oh, man, it's over, it's done. But to close a door means that there's another one that's open. You just got to go a different route. So that is still God leading you. Paul is willing to lay down his will and plans for the direction that the Holy Spirit brings. Can we have that same mindset? Lord, I'm willing to lay down my plans for the plans that you have for me. Verse 9, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul, so he's asleep. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So Paul sees this in a dream, in a vision. There's this guy standing saying, hey, come over to Macedonia, help us. Verse 10 says, and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So Paul has this vision, and he's now in Troas, and God makes Paul's direction clear. And here's the cool thing in the vision. Paul is invited. The guy's saying, hey, come on. He's invited to the region of Macedonia, which is westward across the Aegean Sea. So they go across the Aegean Sea. Now this is really cool. Because we look kind of through this narrow lens with our life oftentimes, with our plans, and we see what is directly in front of us when there's so much else happening, and it's hard for us to see it. And oftentimes God won't allow us to see it, because if we can look to the left or the right, we would get distracted. It's just like a horse with a bridle on. You just need to see what's right here. But this moves Paul and his missionary team from the continent of Asia to the continent of Europe. They're now in Europe. This was the first missionary endeavor to Europe. The wisdom and the greatness of God's plan is beginning to unfold here. See, in Paul's mind, he wanted to reach a few cities in this region, but God wanted to give Paul a continent to win for Jesus Christ. The redirection of his plans actually put Paul on a whole other continent to where the gospel could reach a continent and not just a few cities. See, Paul couldn't see that in the moment, but God's plan was to reach the nations, ultimately to right here. It's amazing. Even Stephen brought up the eunuch earlier and how we got this eunuch coming from Ethiopia, which is East Africa. And you see the interaction with him and with Philip, and you think, oh, it's just a one-on-one thing. Philip's just talking to this eunuch here. It's just about this one thing. This eunuch wants to be baptized. That's good, and that's great and everything. But what Philip didn't realize was that the eunuch was going back to Ethiopia, to Queen Candace, which reached an entire nation. So it ain't just one. It's a whole nation. See, it ain't just one that you're witnessing to. It could be an entire family. And we're going to get to that in a second, to where we see this lady and come and encounter with these disciples, and our whole family gets saved. It's not just one. But there are entire nations that need to hear the gospel. That's why we don't reject any opportunity to embrace the Great Commission. Because it's as you're going. An entire family needs to be impacted by the gospel. And you cannot keep your mouth closed. We cannot be so nervous and go, I don't know what to say. It's going to come out wrong or whatever. That's fine. Because the Lord just said he will be your mouthpiece and he'll speak through you. You just open it up. Just open it up. People aren't looking for perfection. They're looking for realness. They're looking for realness. They're looking for folks who said, yeah, I've been in some stuff before, but God has rescued me and redeemed me, and I don't think I'm any better than you. I know that I'm not, but I've been redeemed. Let me tell you about this Jesus who can lift you up out of the muck and the mire and the clay and set your feet on a rock to stay. Let me tell you about this Jesus who can transform your life from the inside out, who will give you new hopes and new desires. Let me tell you about Jesus who will right the wrong by redeeming you from your sin and saving you from yourself. People want real. So the gospel goes to Europe. Verse 11, the conversion of Lydia, which is what I was referencing just a second ago. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, in a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. Now, you'll miss it if you're not paying attention. Notice the language. There's all of a sudden a shift from they went to we went. Now, who's writing this? Luke is writing this. So it's in Troas that they partner up with Luke, and Luke goes with them. Again, they wanted to go to Asia, they wanted to go to Bethany, but there was a guy named Luke in Troas that needed to join up with them, and by the way, ended up writing all of this. Ended up writing other books in the New Testament. And see, we thought that we were being misguided. We thought that we were going to be lost. We thought God didn't know what he was doing. When God says no, you better embrace it, because he knows what he's doing. So they partner up with Luke now. Luke joins on the missionary team in Troas, and they're all riding together. Verse 13, it says, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Now, this is a very interesting little passage here. Just with them talking about, they go and they go to the riverside, and there's a place of prayer. Now, the fact that the Jews had no synagogue and met by the river means that there were not many Jewish men in Philippi. So what would need to happen for them to have a synagogue be established? There would have to be at least 10 Jewish men within the city. So with there being no synagogue in Philippi, that meant that there weren't even 10 men who were willing to follow and build a synagogue. There weren't even 10. It didn't matter how many women there were. There had to be at least 10 men, and there weren't. So the thing that they would do instead is if they couldn't construct a synagogue, they would go and establish a place of prayer by a river. And so Paul knows this, Silas knows this, Timothy knows this, Luke knows this. And so they go, hey, there's no synagogue here. There's not even 10 Jewish men who are believing. So let's just go down the river. There surely should be a place of prayer down there that we can go to. And that's what they do. And so they go down to the place of prayer by the river. Verse 14 says, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. So they find Lydia down there, a seller of purple goods, and that was a good profession for her. Purple was a color of royalty, so she was doing pretty well. But she was considered to be a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Let's not miss this. The Bible says she's a worshiper of God, but then there's clearly an indication that she is not pursuing Jesus yet, because the Bible says that her eyes had to be open. They had to be open to what Paul was saying. And I think this describes our culture to a T, to where we're cool with acknowledging God. We'll give him honorable mention. We'll say, yeah, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And, you know, I worship God. I go to church on Sundays. And just knowing who God is still will leave you in an eternity without Jesus. She's a worshiper of God, but she has not yet believed on Jesus. And here's the other thing we need to know, that salvation is a gift from the Lord, because the Bible says that God opened her eyes to understand what was being said. And you've got to understand that whenever you get frustrated with people, you keep sharing the gospel, you keep sharing the word, and it's like they're just, they're blinders on. Their eyes have not been opened to the gospel yet. But that don't stop you from praying. That don't stop you from being persistent in sharing the gospel, because the prayer is that what happens for them, or what happened to you, is what will happen for them. God opened your eyes to the gospel and your need for it. And God will do the same for them. So the Lord opened her eyes and her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Verse 15, the last verse, says, and after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. So she begged them, and she convinced them to stay. This is an experience just like the woman at the well who hears the gospel and goes back to the city, and people believe and trust in Jesus. This woman is so fired up because of her experience here with these disciples, and they're sharing the gospel. She goes back, and the gospel gets shared with her house, and they are baptized, and they all come to Jesus. Again, it's not about just one, but an entire family can be changed and transformed for the gospel. And so as we wrap this thing up, along the way, your journey with Jesus, as you're walking, as you are going, having your eyes and ears open to how the Lord will lead you, understand that it is his leading. And for him to direct you from one thing is him directing you to another thing. And I have no doubt in my mind that the Lord has been moving on the hearts of someone in here, or many people in here, to step away from one thing and to move towards the other. And it doesn't make complete sense yet. You're looking at it going like, that thing looks like it was better than what I'm going to. Or you're looking at that thing going, yeah, that was awful, but I don't know what I'm turning to. I don't know which direction I'm supposed to be led. Like, Lord, I'm following you. I'm trying to be obedient, but I don't see it. I don't get it. My encouragement to you is keep walking. Keep walking. Keep trusting. Keep praying. keep believing that God is who he says that he is. Don't give up. Keep the faith. God's going to bring people alongside you to help you in this journey. But don't quit, don't give up. But I know that even along the way, there's many things that are very hard that we come up against in life, that we struggle with, things that knock us to our face. Things that are completely unexpected. You wake up and it's a great day, then all of a sudden you get news and something has happened. You wake up, it's a great day, you go to put your key in the car and the car won't crank. I don't know why, but it won't. Something happens during work, something happens after work, some report gets filed on you, and then all of a sudden your job is up in the air. Something happens with your children or with your kids. Something happens within your marriage. Something happens. And it's just like, Lord, I don't understand. I had a similar experience this morning. So I got here super early because we got baptism. And I was coming to fill up the baptismal pool, which is actually a large feeding trough. Welcome to the South. So I got here to do that, and went to cut the water on. The water's actually up in the attic. And so I get up there, and I turn the lever, and then I just start hearing this gushing noise, and it is pouring. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, where is that coming from? So I get out, I run in, and in the children's room, there was water gushing from the vent from the ceiling this morning. Now, if you have children in there, we have cleaned it up. It is sanitary, so don't worry. It's all good. But so I go in there, and I look, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. Just to show you guys what it looked like, I think we've got a video of this, actually. Yeah. Good morning, right? So I see that, and you know, I thought about, what am I going to do? Like, I don't know how to fix that. There's going to be roof problems. There's a busted pipe somewhere. And on top of that, like, I had to cut the water on because I need the hose to fill up the baptismal pool. So now we can't do baptism. Now I got to push that back, and there's families that are ready to be baptized this morning, and I don't know exactly what to do with that. Unexpected. Life is like that. You're tracking along, and then something comes and just totally wrecks your world. Something comes and is not what you had planned. I didn't plan to have to deal with that this morning. But I did. But here's what you learn in life, as you begin to walk with Jesus and as you go through situations and you learn how to trust him and how to walk by faith and not by sight, and you lean and you press into him and you set your hope on the rock that is Jesus, you don't freak out. That's not your first response anymore. But you go through a process of going, all right, Lord, like, okay, I don't get this, but some way, somehow, you're going to work this thing out. Some way, somehow, you're going to pull me up out of this. Some way, somehow, you're going to do what only you can do. I don't know how, but I trust you. And that's what my faith leads me to at the end of the day. God, I trust you. And that's where you have to land. And so after that, called up Andy and said, hey, man, we're going to have to switch up baptism. We got an issue with the water. And he was like, well, let me make a phone call. I said, I got some buddies over at the fire department. And let's see if we can get that pool filled up. So this is what happened next. Well, that happened first. Amen. Yeah. So those guys came over here, and here's the really cool thing. It would take me about 45 minutes to fill that up. It took them 5 minutes. 5 minutes, 100 gallons a minute, right? 100 gallons a minute that thing fills up. And it's ready to go. And we're going to baptize those boys, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to have a good time. See, God works like that. He works like that in your life. When you see the situation and you're freaking out and you're worried and you're along the way and the way doesn't look good, God says, listen, just chill because I got a ram in the bush. You don't even know. I got you covered because I see the end from the beginning, remember? And I got this thing worked out. And actually what you're going to do through this situation is your faith is going to be strengthened. You're going to learn how to trust me in a whole new way that you didn't have before because you didn't walk through it yet. But now that you've gone through it, you see me in a different way. You see me as your provider and your protector, and you've gone through a situation where now you see me as your father, and you see me as your comforter, and now you see me as your peace, and you see me as your joy. As you go through these situations, you begin to see God in whole new ways, and his character and how he reveals himself. And he always works it out to his glory and to his greater good. But you just got to keep walking. You got to keep trusting. Don't give up. So as we get ready to transition here, I just want to encourage you guys in the word this morning. I want to encourage you to be persistent. I want to encourage you that if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you need to know him. You need him. If you feel like, hey, I don't need God, I've been good up to this point, like, you are deceived. You need Jesus. You need him. And for those of us that are in Christ and we've been just struggling and trying to get through, and our feet feel like they got cinder blocks on them, and you're worn down, you're tired, depressed, struggling. Man, the Bible says that he is the lifter of our face. He lifts our eyes up. And that's what we need this morning. We need to be lifted. We need to be reminded that life is absolutely a journey. So along the way, as you track through it, your heart's got to be the heart of Paul, to where he says, listen, I'm just wanting to pursue what God has commanded. And his focus needs to be my focus. And his focus was to go and make disciples of all nations. He said, all power and authority were given to me, so I'm about to put something in you to give you strength for the journey. And the last thing he says in the Great Commission, he says, don't worry, because I'm going to be with you always. I'm going to be with you always. And that's why we don't fear. That's why we don't give up, because he is in us. He is with us, enabling and empowering us to do the work of the ministry. So as you go, your stay-at-home mom, that is so important. Eunice, Timothy's mom, was a stay-at-home mom. And she poured into Timothy. And because of that, now his reputation in Iconium and Lystra, it's one of good repute. His reputation has preceded him. But it goes back to that good stock. He had a mama who poured into him. He had a grandmama who poured into him. And that's what we should do for one another. If you stand with me, we're going to pray and we're going to sing. And if you guys have to leave, feel free. But we'd love for you to stay with us for baptism of Colin and Reed. And we're going to have a video as well that we show. We're going to celebrate with them. And then if you got more time to hang around, we're going to do a dessert auction, raising scholarship money for our youth. That's going to be a great time. I've hired bouncers to come in case y'all get to fight over the peach cobbler or something. But it's going to be a great time. So y'all stick around with us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word this morning. God, we thank you for giving us hearts to hear. God, I thank you for giving me the strength to preach this morning. God, and I just pray for your people, Lord, throughout this week. God, that we'd be encouraged, Lord. There's going to be opportunity to doubt and walk in fear. There's going to be opportunity this week to fall back and shrink back. But God, just let your Holy Spirit inside of us this morning just rise up in us and just push us, God, to go harder for you, Lord. Push us to pray instead of worry. God, to walk in faith instead of fear. God, to glorify you in the midst of a gloomy situation, God. So strengthen us now, God. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Sing this song with us.
Sing this together.